Do not be anxious about your life. Well, that's easy to say. But there's so many things in life that, well, that we do worry about, and maybe we should worry about, at least be concerned of. The birds of the air, right? They don't harvest, they don't put it into the granary, they don't take care of those things, and God takes care of them. But if we didn't harvest and put it into the bin, where would we all be? It's easy to say, don't worry about what you're going to put on, what you're going to do for the day, but of course, if we don't plan ahead, if we don't anticipate, well, where would we be? Do not be anxious about your life. Well, why not? Well, or why put them aside? Why should we worry about them, or why should we not worry about them? It makes sense to do the one. It seems a little nuts to do the other. And yet, it is our Lord that says these things. And so when we keep track of who says it, we put a different understanding to it, right? Our Lord says, don't worry about what you are in life. Put first the kingdom of God. Well, it's our Lord who puts forth the first the kingdom of God, whose very reason for being is to save us from our sins. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always existed, but it's in the nature of God to create. It's in the nature of God to care, compassion, provide. And it's in the nature of God, right, in order to call his people back to himself that have wandered away, have gone astray. So Jesus comes for the very single purpose of putting the kingdom of God first for us. And since he has done that, he also does these other things. So when we think about Jesus' ministry, he teaches, he heals, he restores, he feeds, he provides, brings back to life, and dies and is raised. So because he puts the most important things first, the kingdom of God, he also provides for those other things. And so in faith, we trust that God provides for our singular need to be restored in relationship with him. And because he provides the big thing, we trust that he'll take care of the little things as well. Thanksgiving is essentially, right, at its heart, a harvest festival. We don't have it in the springtime. We don't put it in the middle of the winter. We put it at the end of the season as really a harvest festival, but it's really an opportunity as a nation to give thanks to God. Because as Christians, we are called to be thankful every day, right? Not just at a certain point, and we don't need some government to tell us it's time to give thanks. We do so because of Christ, because of our Father, Son, and Spirit who has blessed us so. But it is good and proper for us as a nation to give thanks to God for all that he has provided. So many huge things. Luther, in the explanation to the Lord's Prayer, what does daily bread mean? God gives daily bread, but even without our prayer, to all people, those sinful. But we ask in this prayer that he will help us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanks. God provides these things for all the people of the world. Right? Jesus says God causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. There's nothing different. Right? We aren't any better off because we are Christians as far as the things of the world are concerned. We're not better off. We're not worse off. But as Christians, we know where these things come from. It's not just good luck that the rain comes. It's not just good fortune, right, that we have industry or that we have minerals or all those things. We know it comes from God. And that's the thing that makes us as Christians different, not in the blessings we receive, but in the knowledge from which it comes. God gives daily bread even without our prayer, but we ask in this prayer that he will help us to realize this and give thanks for our daily bread, so that all these blessings come from the God and Father of us all. We ask God for big things, as we should. When we have great needs, we turn to God and ask for his help. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, "We pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary, small, and yet not really small, gifts." We pray for the big things and sort of forget about those others. Luther, when he's explaining this, he says, "Daily bread includes everything needed for this life, such as food and clothing, home and property, work and income, a devoted family, an orderly community, good government, favorable weather, peace and health, a good name, and true friends and neighbors." Okay. Such a little word encompassing such a great gift. All these things. Well, why is it important to kind of list them? Why does Luther spend all that time writing that? Because sometimes we get focused in too narrowly on certain things. Lord, give me this one thing, and I'll leave you alone. And the Lord says, really, that's the problem. You're way too willing to just leave me alone. Right? You're way too willing to say, I can take care of this all of life on my own, except for this one thing. And you can pick whatever that one thing is. It's different for each of us. And the Lord says, wait a minute, it's not about this one thing. It's about all these things. Unless the one thing you're talking about is seeking first the kingdom of God. Okay, now we can talk, right? But Luther says, it's all these things. We need to understand the breadth and the scope of all the blessings that God has given. Lord, what I want you to do is heal me. What I want you to do is provide for me. What I want you to do is find a good place for me to work. What I want you to do is give me something really special. Okay, great. Ask for those things. But pay attention also to all the things that he gives automatically, freely, abundantly, that we often overlook. See, for to be a thankful person, right, we look for those big ones, but we look for those little ones. How do we cultivate an appreciation? How do we cultivate a thankful life? By looking for small things. A friend of mine frequently posts three good things for today. Recently he said, three good things for today. One, I slept in for a second day in a row. Glorious. I could get used to that. Two, a nice sunny day. So I washed Angela's car and my truck. Three, Angela prepared a very nice supper. Well, those are kind of mundane things. But his practice to say at the end of the day, these are three good things for this day, is really a way of cultivating a life of thanksgiving, of cultivating a response to the blessings, simple blessings, that God has given. So I thought about this morning. Three good things already, and it's only 9:30. One, the alarm went off at the right time. Right? The fact that it did go off, that's a blessing, and it was the right time, rather than, you know, the old time, summertime or whatever. Second good thing for today already, gravity still works. Probably by tonight, gravity will be working more than it is this morning. Probably, I'm just guessing. third good thing already today. The car started so that I could get to work, get to church, so we could worship together. Little things. But I just want to encourage you, by the end of today, think about what are three good things that happened today that for which you are thankful. Now, we can do that pretty fast, especially on Thanksgiving Day. We would say, thanks for my family. Yeah. Right. Thanks for health. Thanks for God. But then tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Right? What are three good things that happened for which you are thankful? By focusing on those little things and recognizing them, it cultivates a heart that is thankful, which is already a transformation, because the human heart has a way of twisting things around in such a way that I remember three rotten things that happened today, three rotten people I had to deal with today, three awesome, awful things that took place that I just didn't want to ever happen. The human heart wants to look at those things and say, good gosh, why can't God help me out? A thankful heart says, what are those little things that matter? Now Jesus says, even giving a cup of cold water in my name is a blessing, is a gift. So on Thanksgiving, we start looking at the big picture, but the little picture. What does Jesus give us? Simple things, wine and bread, common, ordinary, everyday things. And then he attaches his word and his promise to it, and it becomes the body and blood of our Lord for us. That we really receive the big picture, Christ, in this small little thing, bread and wine. That we receive the greatest gift of all in this ordinary event, which makes it an extraordinary event. What is it that makes it special? It's not how I feel about it. It's not what it reminds me of. What makes it a special event is that Christ is truly present. What makes today or tomorrow or yesterday really special? That God, the Creator, enables us to breathe in and breathe out. That our Lord says, I have called you back into fellowship, that sins committed are not permanent, that they can be forgiven. That the Holy Spirit continues to inspire and lead everyday things. What are three things that are special today that you'll give thanks to God for tonight? And tomorrow, look for three things. Doesn't need to be a huge list. Three things. Ordinary stuff for which you are thankful. It begins cultivating a heart in response to God so that thank you is as easy as breathing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.